We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
How you doing today, IB Nation Sports Talk up and rolling? I'm Sean Stiers. I won't be doing this whole show alone today. I'll be joined by two different people spaced apart. Ryan Roberts going to join me first. We're going to talk a little superlatives from the Pot of Gold recruiting extravaganza on Sunday. And then after that, Vince D'Addario is going to join me, and we are going to do a little bit of rapid fire. Regulars of the show know that Tuesday is typically a Jesse day on the show. Today is his birthday. And on this date, 28 years ago today, his mother and I were waiting and pacing the hallways of Lawrence Memorial Hospital in Lawrence, Kansas, for his birth. I was at work at a radio station getting ready to do a little news in the morning when I got a call at 5:30 a.m. that it was time. Well, it wasn't quite time. It took around 14 hours or so, 13, 14 hours, I think, before Mr. Stubborn finally popped out. So happy birthday, Jesse. He'll be along later in the week. But for now, Vince will be in a little bit with rapid fire. And then before that, well, our guy, Ryan Roberts, right now. All right. So here he is, Ryan Roberts. I set all this up. So, you know, like nothing annoys me more than when I listen to a podcast when they do like the cold, you know, open and then they run through everything that they're going to talk about, and then they bring the person on, and then they run through, you know, like everything again. So I probably just, you know, did what annoys me. So
I'm actually very guilty of that, Sean. When we have players on the NFL draft podcast, usually we have obviously the intro that's built in, and then it goes into, and I actually do another intro. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Like, exactly.
Reset, welcome back. You don't even need to hear this again.
30 seconds. Forward. All right. So Pot of Gold. Yes. Seems like it was a pretty big success just based on everything that I've heard so far. But let's jump into it here a little bit. Ryan, you know, the big announcement yesterday, I think, was the commitment of Jordan Faison's brother, Dylan. So how did this all come about?
It was a wild situation, Sean. So quick story for everyone who didn't see the podcast on Monday. So we did our Pot of Gold recap. I actually had Dylan Faison come on, okay, on the show. He was live on the show with us, and I had very little idea that he had committed to Notre Dame already. Like, he was literally verbally committed to Notre Dame, silently committed while he was on the show. And then on the show, he said something like, talking to Jordan about the challenges of Notre Dame. And Jordan was basically like, after he had offered, you know, telling him like, hey, don't feel pressure to go to Notre Dame if you don't want to go to Notre Dame, that type of thing. And he was like, well, Notre Dame had been my dream way before Jordan had ever, you know, even thought about Notre Dame, right? Like, since I was a little kid.
Right.
And he started talking about it. He's like, no, I want this challenge. Like, this is why I'm going to do this. I'm like, wait, did you just commit on the show? Like, I'm right. Right now, right? And so I texted him right after that. Every hour of the show, I was like, hey, man, are you committing today? Like, are you committing? He's like, yeah, I'm committing today at, like, I think it was like 4:15 Eastern time. He's like, don't put it on Twitter. I'm like, well, I wanted to be like, well, I think you kind of told everybody.
Don't put it on Twitter, but you just broadcast it to the world live on my show.
Sean, it was wild, man. It was one of the more interesting situations on a day that a player committed. But, I mean, how did it happen? I honestly didn't even know much about Dylan Faison until about a week before Pot of Gold, when he had gotten a heads up about obviously a lot of the players that were going to get offered, and saw his name on the list and saw that he was from Florida. And I'm like, well, that's interesting that a Faison is from Florida, right? So you start doing your digging, and of course lacrosse comes up and football comes up, and you start to really paste the picture, and then you find, you know, the parents' names and everything. You're like, oh, that's his brother. Okay, got it. So,
well, I mean, being a 2026 guy, like, he's fairly far off the radar right now, right? Like, not to cut you off, but I mean, like, that's not quite on the radar yet for most people.
It's not at all, no. And it was actually his first pure offer as just a football player so far. Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame was his first offer. He is also, for people that don't follow lacrosse too much, he's rated by one of the major platforms as the number one lacrosse player in the 2026 recruiting class as well. So he's not only a big time receiver, because he averaged like 27 yards a catch as a sophomore at St. Andrews in Florida. Like, he's a very good wide receiver, but then also dynamic lacrosse player. I mean, if you go on his huddle highlight tape, you're going to see like 4 goals, 5 goals, 7 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals, like every single game, man. And like, it's absolutely wild. So he obviously knows about the program very well. He's had the chance to be on the campus. I mean, he's like a legit lacrosse guy too, Sean. Like, I apparently New York is like the place to be for lacrosse. So like, in the summers, he goes up to New York to train just for lacrosse for the summers, basically. So he will be doing both football and lacrosse at Notre Dame. Very talented player. Notre Dame, when we got sent the list, obviously got a little bit of feedback, and he was a player that Notre Dame wanted very, very much, right? So this wasn't like a walk-on situation.
Yeah,
they wanted Dylan Faison a part of the program. And the minute he got the offer, pretty much, it was a done deal. I mean, literally offered officially on Sunday during Pot of Gold, committed on Monday.
Wow.
Very crazy times, to say the least.
But I mean, imagine, it's just like you said, he's got a brother who's going through it here in terms of the two sports. So he knows firsthand, he's got information firsthand about just how Marcus Freeman and his staff are going to handle it, and obviously how Kevin Corrigan and the lacrosse staff are going to handle it. So that's got to help quite a bit for him, just to have that firsthand information.
Well, we asked him about that on the podcast, and he had said that, you know, basically he wants to try to emulate exactly what Jordan's been able to do early in his career, just from the functionality of being able to juggle those things, because it's not easy. I mean, being a student at Notre Dame is hard enough. Being a dual sport athlete at Notre Dame is incredibly difficult. But obviously, Jordan has been thriving. I mean, at the end of the season this past year, Jordan was probably the best receiver on Notre Dame's team, you know, arguably. And he has been an absolute sensation so far on the lacrosse field as well. So, great mentor, great person to emulate. And I think that obviously Notre Dame really liked Dylan Faison, and he is the first commit in 2026, which is absolutely wild to think about, man. Absolutely wild. People, wasn't I on the show last week where there was literally a person that asked, when is usually the first commitment that happens? And I'm like, blue and gold game is usually kind of like the marker for like a first commit in the class. And here we are, day after a Pot of Gold, and we have a kid in the 2026 class committed.
Boom.
Which is pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, no doubt.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, so a long list of offers that obviously went out on Pot of Gold Day. Who's kind of the cream of the crop? Who's up at the top of the list in your eyes?
There are a couple elite players in this class that I've seen so far, and obviously it's not everyone, but I would say that there are four players that I looked at right now, Sean, and I'm like, that kid is a slam dunk five-star today. Like, I don't need to see any more of them. Like, unless he just falls off a cliff the last 2 years, you know, I guess that stuff always happens, but like, just absolutely freak show. So one is Jared Curtis, who's a quarterback out of Tennessee. He's on Notre Dame's radar, a kid that Notre Dame likes very much. I don't think that it's a reasonable option for Notre Dame to be in that one, though. I mean, that kid's probably going to go to Alabama or Georgia more than anything. But this kid is 6'3", 215 pounds. I remember texting Brian Driscoll about him. I'm like, that's Matt Stafford all over again. Like, he looks just like Matt Stafford on the field, man. It's
wow,
pretty wild. His arm is live. If you would have told me that he was a senior on his last year's film, would have 100% believed you. Like, his arm is absolutely live. So he's one. I would say Kendre Harrison, who's a tight end out of Reidsville, North Carolina. Sean, this stuff makes me laugh every single year, man. He's a sophomore that is a 6'7", 235-pound tight end that can also play defensive end if he wanted to. I mean, almost had 1,000 yards last year for Reidsville.
Had over
10 tackles for loss. I mean, he had like 18 tackles for loss, 10 sacks. He could literally play tight end, defensive end, or wide receiver on the college level, on a very high level too. I'm not saying like, oh yeah, he can pass. Like, he can be a legitimate dude at either one of those positions. Probably the best player though I've seen is this guy His name is Jackson Cantwell. He's out of Nixon, Missouri. He's an offensive tackle. 6'7" and a half, 300 pounds as a sophomore. And there's like no bad weight on him. I saw him. I'm just like, geez, dude, like you could play college football right now. Like no exaggeration. I know Notre Dame is pressing for him right now because obviously Notre Dame is one of the best offensive line developers in all of college football. And he is the number one offensive lineman in 2026. And I mean, he's a big time dude, man. I mean, he moves well, he's physical, he's long. Like there's really no hole in that kid's game. He's going to be an absolute stud of a player. And the last one who's a player that actually wasn't a pot of gold player for Notre Dame. It's a guy that's had an offer for a couple months already. And that's Anthony Jones out of the state of Alabama. He plays off-ball linebacker. He plays on-ball. Notre Dame offered him as a Viper. He's like 6'4", 214, 215 pounds right now. The kid is just a freaky athlete, man. Like, he moves incredibly well out in space. He can rush the passer. Those are probably the four kids that, if you ask me, like, who are the most impressive players I've seen so far, it would be Jackson Cantwell. It would be Anthony Jones. It would be Kendrick Harrison. And it would be Jared Curtis, the quarterback out of Tennessee.
Are there rules on, you know, we talk about players and reclassification and all that kind of stuff, but like you were saying, yeah, you know, this is a sophomore who could play college right now. Like if he could get his high school credits done after his sophomore season, him or anyone, you know, right, like could a guy go to college that early, regardless of age? Like, are there any rules that you know of around that?
And I think there's very few players that would even be able to think about that. I mean, that's like a generational player, in my opinion, right?
Right.
A kid that's
right,
like just that advanced as a 16-year-old that he could literally go play college football. But I mean, we've seen it. I remember, you remember Amobi Okoye, who played defensive tackle for mm-hmm. Louisville and then was drafted in the first round. He was a 16-year-old freshman. So okay, like he went to Louisville and he was playing as a 16-year-old. Romeo Okwara was like 17 when he was a true freshman at Notre Dame. So like we've seen some younger guys do it.
Yeah.
Jackson Cantwell's one where like he could 100% go into a college locker room today and not look out of place, right? Like he would not look out of place at all. So I mean, yeah, if he could somehow make up two years of credits in a very short amount of time, could he go to Notre Dame's locker room next year and not look out of place? Absolutely. He could 100% do that. I don't think that's wise or reasonable for an offensive lineman, but he's one of those kids that I looked at. He is, in my opinion, the best player in this class. Like I watched him. I'm just like, that is the best high school sophomore I've ever seen. I mean, he is just impressive. So yeah, he could definitely just get dropped in a college locker room and you'd be like, yeah, he doesn't look out of place. He looks like he belongs here.
So we talked last week about sort of locking down the guys in the backyard, Chicago area, Indiana, that kind of thing. And there were five different offers, I think, that went out from this area. What are those guys looking like?
Yeah, so only five offers from Indiana and the state of Illinois. Specifically, the two players that were offered from Illinois are Chicago-based kids, right? So just to be a little bit more specific there.
Okay.
Funny, and me and Sean Davis were talking about this on yesterday's show. Four out of five of the players that were offered, Sean, were all defensive linemen, which is just very interesting, right? Like clearly there's a type that you're kind of looking at. Because I mean, you even think back to the 2025 class that's still getting filled up, but Notre Dame has three defensive linemen from their backyard that are committed in the class in Christopher Burgess and Joseph Reef, and Dominic Kulak's more of a hybrid linebacker edge type of dude. But like literally you got three front seven players from the state of Illinois just in the 2025 class. And although the volume isn't as good in 2026, there's not as many great players in Illinois, it looks like this year, and not as many in Indiana. You still have four quality defensive linemen that I think Notre Dame is going to push for heavily. So we'll see what the combination ends up looking like, but they offer Braden Jones out of Mount Carmel. They offer JJ Finch, who's out of Warren Central, who is the same school that they're recruiting, you know, their top pass rusher right now in 2025 that they're really looking at. They also have two defensive linemen in Illinois, Mikhail Blade and Gabe Hill. So Notre Dame is clearly finding a type in Illinois, I think, over the last 2 years, like finding those defensive line, which makes sense because, like, if I ask you, like, tell me something about Chicago, right? Just like a general sports thing, basketball is something that comes up pretty quick, right? Like, oh, a lot of good basketball players come out of Chicago. We literally have a kid in 2025 and Christopher Burgess that goes to Simeon, that it's like, that's a pretty prestigious basketball school. You know, some good players have come out of there. So I think it makes sense that Illinois specifically, Chicago specifically, are putting out a lot of defensive linemen that Notre Dame has interest in. Because when I think of basketball players, I think of long, explosive athletes, right? And I think that's what Notre Dame needs more of, is they need long, explosive athletes up front. And I think that locking down a couple of those premier defensive linemen that are right in their backyard, that again, being Mikhail Blade, being Gabe Hill, being J.J. Finch, and being, I'm missing one, Braden Jones, that I think that's paramount in this year's class. Not as many players, but I think that the players you have are very important for 2026.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Quarterbacks. Predominantly, I think California and Florida were, you know, kind of where the offers went. Who's maybe the most likely to commit to Notre Dame?
It's a really funny quarterback here, man, because right now, all offers that have been gone out, because there was six quarterbacks that were technically offered in Pot of Gold, but there's seven quarterbacks that are on the board and one that was previously offered. And three of them are from the state of Florida, that being Noah Grubbs, that being Brady Hart, that being Will Griffin. And then you have three from the state of California, that being Brady Smigel, that being Ryder Lyons, and then Troy Hume is the other quarterback out of the state of California. So you have three in California, three in Florida, and then we already talked about Jared Curtis, that's a Tennessee kid, right? But Gino Guidulli has been on the road a ton during the open period, and he has found those players, right? He went out to see Troy Hune. He's went out to see Brady Smigel. He went out to see Ryder Lyons. He's been down to see Brady Hart. Like, he's been around, and those are the guys that he is really focusing on. And right now, I would say of the most likely options, in my opinion, of a board would look something like this, no particular order. Ryder Lyons out of Folsom in the state of California. I would say Noah Grubbs, who's out of the state of Florida. And then I would say Brady Hart, quarterback out of Coco in the state of Florida as well. Like, those are the three most likely today. They're obviously going to keep recruiting other guys, but we have two of those guys are going to be coming up to visits this offseason already. Noah Grubbs is going to be back for his third visit overall to Notre Dame this offseason. Brady Hart is going to be making his first trip up to South Bend. Ryder Lyons is talking about taking a trip at some point in the summer, but has not solidified a time yet. So if you ask me who are the most likely, I would say the two guys that stand out of that three-man group, I think Ryder Lyons is a guy that Notre Dame is very high on. I think that Brady Hart is another guy that Notre Dame is very high on, and he reciprocates that interest. So who's going to commit first is at the end of the day, right? I think that Notre Dame, in my opinion, I think Notre Dame would take commitments from any of that top group that I just mentioned, including Noah Grubbs. The question is, who wants that spot most and who's able to make the plunge quickest? And I think that Notre Dame would be very happy with either of those three. They'd be happy with Jared Curtis as well if Jared Curtis wanted to come, right? But I just don't think Jared Curtis is in a decision-making mode, one, and I don't think that he would pick Notre Dame if he was. So ultimately, those three men, Brady Hart and Ryder Lyons, I think are the two most likely as of today.
And you think maybe the quarterbacks, like, are we thinking maybe sometime within the next month or so, or kind of a longer play?
No, I think it's going to come off. I think it's going to come off this offseason, this summer, I think is when it's going to happen. So you have the two quarterbacks that I mentioned that are going to take visits. If neither one of them pop at some point after their visit, then Ryder Lyons will be coming up as well. I do think before the season kicks off for 2024, I think Notre Dame will know who their 2026 quarterback is. I think that we'll have a pretty decent understanding there of where things stands, because again, and they know it's a race, Sean. Like, funny enough, Noah Grubbs and Brady Hart, they are actually trained together. They go to the same trainer, Trujillo, I forget his first name, Balin. Balin Trujillo is their quarterback coach, private quarterback coach. And they train together. And Noah Grubbs literally said this to me in an interview like 2 weeks ago, where he was like, I know Notre Dame really likes Brady, who I train with as well. So we'll see what happens with that spot, right? So like, they know that spot, there's only one, obviously, in every class for the most part, especially for a Notre Dame. So if they want to be that guy, they're going to have to make a decision sometime relatively soon, man, or else that spot might not be open for very long.
What about tight ends? Hearing good things about 2026 tight ends. Any guys to kind of know from that group?
This is probably the highest quality position compared to how many are on the board. It's pretty wild. I mean, because I already mentioned Kendre Harrison, who I think is a five-star tight end out of the state of North Carolina. Like, he's fantastic. But so they only offered five tight ends in this class. I just held up four fingers for some stupid reason, but I meant to hold five fingers up. Okay. So they offered five tight ends, Sean. Kendre Harrison, talked about a ton, five-star out of North Carolina. Brock Harris out of Utah, who Pineview High School out of Utah. He is 6'5", 230 pounds, very talented player, rated as a top 35-ish player by multiple platforms. He's incredibly talented. Caden Prothrow out of Georgia, who is 6'6", I'll say tentatively 210 pounds. I think he might be a little bit skinnier than that right now. He's much more boundary receiver than he is tight end right now, but that dude can run. Like, he's incredibly talented. And then they have a kid that's in their backyard as well. I mentioned there was five guys from Illinois and Indiana. The other guy is JC Anderson, who's an Illinois kid out of Mount Zion. He's a pretty talented kid himself, 6'7", 230 pounds. And then the most hilarious watch of any player I've had so far is this kid named Heze Kent. And I might be pronouncing his first name wrong. It's H-E-Z-E. I'm going to say it's Heze. He is 6'5", 250. And if you would have told me that he was 265, I would have been like, I believe you, man. I see that. Sean, it's hilarious. He lines up at Wildcat quarterback. He just runs quarterback power all the time and stuff. And they use him after catches the tight end. He's just a monster. Like, he just gets downhill and breaks tackles. Hilarious watch. Absolutely hilarious. But with Kendre Harrison and Brock Harris up top, with the depth of guys like JC Harrison and the pro throw kid out of Georgia, just, although it's only five players, that is a hilariously good tight end crop that Notre Dame has offered so far. Like, just insane talent out of those five kids.
All right, Ryan, I've got Vince coming on for rapid fire here in a minute. I'm going to do like a pre-rapid fire pot of gold rapid fire with you. How about that? We'll finish this with a little bit of a flurry. What do you think?
Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Yeah.
Your favorite pot of gold player is blank.
Oh man, that's actually a really difficult one. I think that Jackson Cantwell is a kid that I just talked about in nauseam on the show already. I talked about him yesterday on Monday. It's hilarious. I think the other one, though, that's probably my favorite one in sense of like a really cool backstory, is there's a defensive end named Rodney Dunham who plays in the state of North Carolina. He's like 6'4", 215-pound defensive lineman, plays on the edge a ton, but he might have a body that's a big end eventually. Like, he might be 250-something pounds pretty quickly. But he is also one of the top baseball players in the state of North Carolina in 2026. Sean, a 6'4", 250-pound defensive end that goes on the mounds and throws 90-plus miles an hour, man. How could you not love that, right? So Rodney Dunham, I think, is one of my favorite ones because it's just such a – like, you usually see, like, oh, maybe a defensive end's like a – great power hitter and like a, you know, maybe corner outfielder, like that type of thing. You don't see too many guys that are also pitchers and 90 plus mile per hour on the mound as well. So
no kidding.
He's a very interesting player. Very interesting.
Okay. Most impressive athlete is blank.
Oh, it's gotta be Anthony Jones, the kid out of Alabama, the edge linebacker. I mean, he's one of those. Actually, I lied. I changed my answer on the fly here. He's up there. But it's Kendre Harrison, the tight end out of North Carolina. I mean, you just don't see guys that are 6'7", 235, and could play wide receiver, tight end, defensive end, and probably off-ball linebacker if you felt like it, right? Like, he is just a freak show athlete. And when you ask me, like, most impressive athlete, versatility is, like, one thing that pops in my head pretty quickly, because it's like, if you're able to play so many different positions, that means that you're very athletic, right? Like, you wouldn't be able to do that without that type of athleticism. That kid is just – because, like, it's not just – he's tall and he's able to win jump balls. He's running after the catch. He's been timed in the 4.6s and the 40 at 6'7", 235 pounds. He rushes the passer. He sets the edge. Kendre Harrison's a freak show out of North Carolina.
All right. Last question. The guy with the most upside is blank.
Ooh. All right. So I'm going to go a little bit off the rails here. This one's a little bit different. So I'm going to pick Kevin Brown, who's an offensive tackle out of Pennsylvania. Okay. So he is a very intriguing player because right now he is all of 6'5 and 260 pounds. So he is a very skinny player. But if you look at him on film or just look at pictures of him, this kid has zero fat on him, Sean. Like, he's 260 pounds, and it looks like he has a six-pack. Like, it is gross. Like, it's absolutely gross. Because I'm looking at him, I'm like, that kid's going to be well over 300 pounds. Like, his body type looks like Joe Thomas now, right? After Joe Thomas lost all his weight after his playing career, he is going to be a really big kid, but he's also a very good all-state wrestler. Very good. He's got hands. He's got physicality. He has incredible movement skills. I mean, right now on film, he looks more like a big tight end than he does a true offensive tackle. I think when his body develops and his athleticism just takes a next jump with a little bit more just power and overall in his core and his lower body, that kid could be a big-time offensive lineman next level. So give me Kevin Jones, who's an offensive tackle out of Harrisburg in Pennsylvania.
Great stuff. There's so much content that you've got from Pot of Gold up on irishbreakdown.com right now. I'm still trying to catch up with all of
Well, luckily for you, Sean, I still have like 10 more interviews that I have to write up. So
lovely.
We'll get there eventually, man. We'll
looking forward to it. All right. Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. I will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.